6 this morning, if you would please, for just a few moments today. I don't want to try to rush through things this morning. I want to let the Lord certainly have His way in our hearts and our lives as we've come to hear from the Word of God today and to worship Him. I do have some words that I got to be by 2 o'clock or a little before 2, and a little drive to go, not too far, but service this afternoon, funeral service, so I would ask that you pray for us there. But Matthew chapter 26, as we continue our study on the life and the ministry of the Lord Jesus, and for you that have been in the services over the last several weeks, of course, we talked about Jesus and the Passover and Jesus and His prayer, and then last week we began to look at the thought from verses 46 down through verses 56 on Jesus the prisoner. We shared a couple of about three different things or thoughts concerning Jesus and the prisoner as they've come now. And, of course, Judas has betrayed Him with a kiss, and Jesus was able to look at him and say, "Friend." And we talked about that a little bit last week in the service. And I want to pick back up in these verses again today because the Lord gave me a thought out of these verses that I want us to consider today, and I believe it'll help us if we'll look at these situations today and think about them and certainly learn to apply Bible truths unto our lives that will help us when we are attacked by the enemy. Matter of fact, the title for the message this morning is simply, "How Do I React When the Enemy Attacks?" You'll find, I believe, in these verses today, you'll find three different reactions. You'll find one from Jesus, you'll find one from the disciples, and then we find one from Peter. And I begin to look at that, and the Holy Spirit just began to work in my own heart and my own life, and I begin to consider, how do I react when the enemy attacks? I want you to think about that this morning as we read the text and give you a few just simple thoughts from these verses of Scripture this morning. If you found your place in the precious Word of God, say amen. I'm going to ask you to stand this morning out of the reverence of the reading, the precious Word of God. If you're able to stand today, and certainly if you're not, that's okay. Verse 50 is where we see that Jesus is even able to look at Judas after Judas has betrayed Him with a kiss and call him friend. And that's part of the reaction, and I'll talk about that if I have time this morning. But I'm just going to start reading in verse 51 for the sake of time and read down through verse 56. Bible says, "And behold, one of them, which were with Jesus," and we know this being Peter, "stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest's and smote off his ear." And we know that servant is Malchus if you go to the Gospel of John. And that's a reaction. I want you to notice that reaction. And then verse 52, "Then said Jesus unto him, Put up again thy sword into its place. For all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father? He shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels. But how then shall the Scriptures be fulfilled that thus it must be? In the same hour said Jesus to the multitudes, Are you come out as against a thief with swords and staves for to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple, and you laid no hold on me." But verse 56, "But all this was done, that the Scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. And then all the disciples," here's a reaction, "forsook him and fled." May the Lord add His richest blessings to the reading of the precious Word of God. Let us pray. Father, we bow today, Father, in Your name. Lord, to thank You and praise You for this another day on this side of eternity. To thank You for Your love, Your grace, Your mercy. To thank You for the privilege to be in Your house this morning. Lord, to thank You for the teaching of Your Word. To hear, Lord, the beautiful singing, Lord. To hear the testimonies. And, Lord, to see those that have already come today to seek help around the old-fashioned altar. I pray now for just a few moments today that, Lord, You'll anoint these lips of clay. Lord, I pray that, God, You give me liberty today. I pray that You would bind, Father, every hindering spirit. Lord, I pray You give me liberty, Lord, to preach, Lord, that which You've placed upon my heart. Let us, Lord, consider the words before us today and consider how we react when the enemy attacks. I pray, Father, today You'd help each of us that are saved to I truly consider how we do react. And then, Father, I pray most of all, if there's someone here today, Lord, they've never trusted you as their Savior, I pray even today, Lord, that they would consider their need of you and come and call upon you for salvation. Father, we love you today. We thank you and we praise you. Bless our time around the Word of God now. Lord, we'll thank you and praise you for all that you're going to do. And it's in Christ's name we do pray. And all God's people said, you may be seated. Thank you for standing out of the reverence of the reading of the precious Word of God. For a few moments this morning, I want us to consider from these verses of Scripture again on the fold, how do I react when the enemy attacks? As we've already said in these verses, I see three different reactions to a time when the enemy is in an all-out attack made against the Savior. I realize that the situation before us is a unique situation with the arrest of Jesus. But I also know for all those, again, that will follow the Lord Jesus Christ, the enemy will try to attack us and to get us off course. Of course, it's always been said forever, action, there's a reaction. And certainly that's very true in a lot of different aspects of life. But this morning, I want each of us to consider, how do I react when the enemy attacks? Because again, for certain today, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior, there's going to be some attacks. Now, I'll also say this morning, sometimes we bring things upon ourselves and then we blame it upon the devil. I mean, let's just be honest with one another and with ourselves, and most of all with the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes things happen because of things that we've done, and then we want to blame somebody else for it. But also this morning, I want us to understand from the text that we see three different reactions again from an attack. And so I want us to consider that. I thought about this in the way of introduction this morning. The enemy will attack us mentally. The enemy will try to attack us emotionally. The enemy will try to attack us spiritually. The enemy will try to use situations that come up in our life to attack us. He will also try to use people around us, if we're not careful, certainly again to attack us and to get us off course. And so I want us to consider these three reactions here from the Word of God this morning as you pray for us for just a few moments. Number one, as I consider certainly the reactions of the attack, and again, Jesus being arrested and all the things that are happening, I realize it's a unique situation, but again, the enemy will attack those that will follow the Lord Jesus Christ. The first way that I'm afraid a lot of us react is the same way that Peter reacts here when he draws out his sword and he hits, of course, the high priest's servant, Malchus, and he cuts off his ear. Now, we know that Peter was bold. We know that certainly he was reactionary, if you will, a lot of times like we are. So we find here, first of all, as we consider these reactions, I thought about, number one, the fleshly reaction. The fleshly reaction. Now, I'm sure that nobody else in here has ever been guilty of allowing your flesh certainly to get in the way and be the reaction that you would make when you were under attack. Now, I know nobody else would ever be guilty of that, but I'd have to say this morning that I've been guilty of that, and I believe if you'd be honest as well, you've been guilty of that, certainly as I have been guilty of that, just as Peter here in this text was guilty. I mean, they've come to arrest Jesus. He's been betrayed. Jesus is special to Peter. You go back in this same chapter starting about verse 33 of this same chapter, and how Peter says that he will not be offended or deny him, and Jesus lets him know that he will. But we find Jesus here, Peter, and we find a fleshly reaction. We find again in verse number 51, "And behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand, drew his sword, and struck a servant of the high priest, and smote off his ear." Now we find that Jesus, of course, heals him, and they still arrest him. I mean, there's still a lot of things I don't understand about all this taking place in this particular text. But I do know this, I see a fleshly reaction. In other words, Peter acted before he thought. Now, he's him and the disciples are there. Now think about it. He has a sword, evidently, and there's a whole multitude that's there with swords and staves. Now, he didn't have much of a chance, just to be honest with you. But we find that his reaction is a fleshly reaction. And again, we understand that a lot of times if we're not careful, we react in the same manner. In other words, we let our emotions get the best of us. Anybody else ever been guilty of that? Letting our emotions, our anger, our desire to get even, to take over. Now, listen, any of us can be guilty of that. Now, again, we have to be honest here. Any of us can be guilty of that. But I truly believe as we grow in the grace of the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and grow in our Christian faith and have a desire to become more like Jesus, then I pray that we could suppress and keep in check, if you will, our fleshly reactions. See, somebody's watching our lives. Somebody's taking inventory. Somebody is looking at our life and saying, well, now, if that's the way a Christian reacts, then I don't know if I want to be one or not. Now, let's be honest. And I understand at the end of the day, every individual is responsible for their own relationship with the person of Christ and whether they accept Him and reject Him. And I understand all that. But you and I are to be a witness. We are to be light. We are to be salt. And if we're not careful, the devil will bring some things along our way. And if we're not careful, we react in a fleshly manner and do more to cause harm to the cause of Christ rather than to lift Him up. Jesus said, if I'd be lifted up, I'd draw all men unto me. So that will be the desire of each of our lives here this morning. Thank God when the devil attacks, is not let our emotions, not let our flesh, not let our anger get the best of us. I'm glad I've got somebody living inside of me that'll help me. I'm not in this thing by myself. Now I understand as we come to this text again, we have a unique situation before us. But again, the devil's going to attack. I can promise you, if you live for God, the devil will attack. And his purpose in that attack is to get you and I off the course that God would have us to be on. He don't want you and I to be salt and light. He doesn't want you and I to be a witness for Him. He don't want you and I to point others to Him. And Lord have mercy, that ought to be our greatest desire. We might point somebody else to the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. I see the fleshly reaction. See, the flesh reacts before it thinks. The flesh draws a sword. If I had one today, I'd just draw it right now. Because to be honest with you, we may not have had a physical sword that we drew, but many of us have taken the sword of our tongue and reacted in a fleshly manner and done more to harm than we have good. There's many times, and many of us have heard this all of our life, we have two ears and one tongue, and we'd be a whole lot better if we just listen more and talk less. But our natural reaction, our flesh reaction is, I've got to say something. I've got to defend myself. Does it not look like that's what Peter's doing right here in this flesh? I mean, he draws the sword and he smites the ear off of the high priest's servant. Just natural reaction. Pow! That's the way we do sometimes if we're not careful. And he physically smote the ear off of the high priest's servant if we're not careful. In the spiritual realm, we'll do the very same thing to the people around us. And when you take the ear off, it's going to be hard to hear. Oh my, this is good if you get a hold of it. It's going to be hard to hear for them to hear anything else till God repairs that wound. Now we find that Jesus immediately He repairs this servant's wound. But I'll tell you this morning, if we're not careful, we have a When the devil attacks, we'll have a fleshly reaction. And again, the flesh reacts before it thinks. It draws a sword. All the others are, the disciples are present, but Peter's the only one that draws the sword. Be careful when you draw the sword. You're going to wound somebody. That's how the flesh reacts. I also thought about this. As we think about this flesh reaction, not only does it react before it thinks, emotions, as we said, anger, revenge, I've got to get them back, I've got to win. For those that know Christ today, you're already a winner. Now that doesn't mean today that we doesn't defend ourselves and our faith and all. I'm not saying that at all. But we have to be careful how we react. Because number one, a flesh reaction reacts before it thinks. Anybody ever done anything like that in here? You done something before you thought about it? Sure you have. All of us have. But what we need to do is ask God to help us to keep that in check. The flesh reacts before it thinks. It draws a sword. But not only that, the flesh reaction never wins the spiritual battle. Now let me say that again. The fleshly reaction never wins the spiritual battle. And we need to understand as God's people this morning, that's exactly what we are in. We are in a great spiritual battle. And yes, there's an enemy out there that's going to do anything he can to attack us and get us off course. But as I've said many times, and I want to say it again, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I'm glad I've got the person of the Holy Spirit of God living and abiding in my soul and will lead me and guide me and direct me and give me what I need for every situation that may come up if I will just listen to him. Instead of just drawing the sword. That's what Peter done. That's the fleshly reaction. Let me give you this verse of Scripture. And I'll move on. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. In other words, today let me say this about the fleshly reaction. It only makes the situation worse. Now think about this with me for just a moment. Even though Jesus is right there, and even Jesus could speak and the whole crowd fall backwards, and Jesus could call the angels, or Jesus could do it all by, he could destroy that whole crowd if he wanted to. But Peter draws a sword against that whole multitude and smites off the servant's ear. The flesh reaction only makes the situation worse. What if the rest of them had drawn their swords? Because I can promise you that the first reaction of everybody around Malchus that day was to draw their swords and go to battle. Boy, wouldn't that have been a sight? Huh? That's exactly what happens a lot of times in our lives. We're going to win. We're going to get the last word. You ever know anybody's going to get the last word? Must be a whole lot of us because we're awful quiet this morning. I'm going to get the last word in. I'm going to win this battle. And if we're not careful, we'll harm our testimony. Huh? We'll harm our influence. And this is what I'm saying. When we have the fleshly reaction, there's no spiritual victory. Jesus didn't need anybody defending him. Jesus was God enough to defend himself. But we find the reaction was a flesh reaction by Peter. It reacts before it thinks. It draws a sword. It never wins the spiritual battle. And again, it only makes most of the time the situation worse. I'm going to get the last word in. I'm going to get them back. I'm going to get revenge. Who wins? Most of the time, nobody. It just makes the situation worse. If there's a fire built somewhere, you don't want to throw gas on it. Boy, I've been guilty of that. Lord, help us. Again, how do I react when the enemy attacks? Do I have a fleshly reaction? Number two, there's another reaction that I see that I want to deal with before I deal with the reaction that Jesus had. But then I see in verse 56, I see another reaction. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all that he saw, here's the reaction. Now Jesus had already told them that they would all be offended of him this night. Right? Oh no, Peter says, it won't. I won't do it. The rest of the disciples says, oh no, it won't be me. What happened when the enemy attacked? We see not only a fleshly reaction, and this goes right along with the fleshly reaction, it just overlaps, but notice again a forsaken and a fleeing reaction. I will just run away. Huh? Have you ever done that? Sure. The Bible says all the disciples forsook him and they fled. And again, I understand we have before us an intense a circumstance and a situation. And this is exactly what the enemy wants you and I to do, that he wants us to forsake and to flee our faith, our faithfulness, our families, our church, our responsibilities. That's the very thing that the devil, that the enemy wants each and every one of us to do. He wants us to forsake and he wants us to flee. Now, let's just be honest. If we'd been there in the garden when Jesus was arrested and all the things that were going on and all the things that Jesus had already told his disciples, we'd have probably been the same way. I'm not saying that at all. But I am trying to make application unto our own personal Christian lives here today. Listen, when the enemy comes and when the enemy attacks, it's not time to forsake and to flee the things of God. It's time to take a stand. You say, well, that's what Peter done when he smote off the Malchus's ear. No, he had a fleshly reaction. They were in a spiritual battle, just as you and I are in a spiritual battle. But then after it all is said and done, we see the disciples forsake and flee the Lord Jesus Christ, which he said that they would. Some, as we said, some forsake and flee from the church. The devil attacks, something happens, somebody says something, somebody does something. Well, I will just leave. Now, listen, I understand that sometimes God moves people. I understand that. And God has brought many people in to Pleasant Grove Baptist Church that felt like this, that God had moved them here. This is where they needed to be. This is where they needed to be worshiping. This is where they needed to go to work. Amen. But let God do the moving. But our reaction when the enemy attacks is, I'll just leave. I'll just forsake. I'll just flee. I'll just quit. Anybody ever thought like that? Sure, you probably have. If you've tried to do anything for God, there's probably been a time in your life where you said, what's the use? I'll just quit. Aren't you glad Jesus didn't do that when he was being marched up Calvary's Hill? At any time, he lets us know that he could have called the legions of angels at any time, even as he spoke there in the garden, the whole crowd, if you go to the Gospel of John, they fell backwards just simply from him speaking. Hey, but thank be unto God. I'm glad that Jesus went all the way. I'm glad he didn't quit. I'm glad he didn't give up. I'm glad he didn't forsake me. I'm glad he's not going to forsake me now. Even thank God when I'm not where I need to be, doing all that I need to do. Aren't you glad that we've got a Savior this morning, church, that will never leave us and never forsake us. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Hallelujah this morning. You and I ought to be determined not to react in a manner is I'll just forsake, I'll just flee, I'll just quit. Because most of the time that's the easiest thing in the world to do, is to tuck tail and run. And if we're not careful, that'll be our very reaction when we're under attack. How do I react when the enemy attacks? Some forsake and flee the church in faithfulness and responsibility. Let somebody else do it. Amen. Either God has put you where you are or He hasn't. Either God's given you a responsibility or He hasn't. Huh? Amen. Being a member of a Baptist church is the easiest thing in the world to be a member of. You can come and go as you please. With no responsibilities. Well, that's what most people think. Well, you're going to stand before the same Savior I'm going to stand before one day and give an account of our life. I've seen people blow up and get mad and run off. And then they want to blame the preacher, they want to blame this, and they want to blame that. And I'm not saying sometimes that there's not circumstances that cause that. But at the end of the day, how do I react when the enemy attacks? We ought to be at the place we ain't going to let nobody run us off or run us out of God's work. We ought to be determined. God, I'm going to do what I can, while I can, where I can. Amen. Preacher, I can't make everybody happy. Join the club. Join the club. If I got mad and quit every time somebody wasn't happy, I'd been gone a long time ago. And it's not our goal to go around making people mad and upset and angry and all that. I'm not saying that. But the devil will take any kind of situation, any kind of circumstance, and use that to attack us. And I've said many times through the process of voting and trying to get to the remodeling done to this building, my prayer is, God, You keep us in unity. God, You help us that we love You more and love one another more. Because at the end of the day, all this is just stuff. But the one that you and I are looking to this morning, thank God, the one that saved us and redeemed us and has given us a responsibility to carry forth His good work and His good word, thank God we ought to be determined that we're not going to forsake and we're not going to flee. But thanks be to God, we're going to stand and we're going to stand true and we're going to fight the good fight of faith and we're going to fight together. Thank God for the glory of God that men, women, boys, and girls might come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because that's what it's all about. So somebody won't die and go to hell. We might reach them with the gospel before it's too late. How do you react when the devil attacks? How do you react when the enemy comes against you? Do you have a fleshly reaction? Do you let your emotions, your tongue, get the best of you? Do you have a fleeing and a forsaking? I'll just quit. Some will forsake the church and flee from the church in faithfulness and responsibility. And let me say this before I move on, that's not God's will. People says, I want to do what God's will is. Well, just hang in there. Just stick in there. Keep going on for the glory of God. Some will forsake their families. Some of you are sitting here today that somebody in your family has forsaken you. Boy, the old devil, he's just been a riding you He's done got a saddle and done got it hitched up and been a riding you. And got you to the place, what's the use? Well, I tell you what, there's one in heaven that still loves you this morning if everybody else forsakes you. Now listen. It's never good when it's somebody in your family that forsakes you, betrays you. Think about Jesus. He knew what it was to be betrayed. He knew what it was to be forsaken. He's now a prisoner in the hands of the Roman army and the Jewish council. And he knows his plot is to be crucified. And he could stand there at Judas and say, "Friend, wow." And the rest of the disciples fled him and forsook him. You're here today and you don't think nobody else knows where you're at or what you're going through. Jesus does. And he sent me to tell you that he loves you and he is ever available for you. If everybody else forsakes you and flees, thank God there's one seated on the right hand of God this morning that will never flee and never will forsake you, but will love you just as he loved these disciples. As the Bible says, he loved them to the end. But I need to be careful how I react. I've dealt with people who says, "I'll just leave." And I say, "Is that what God wants you to do?" Well, no, I didn't say that's what God wanted me to do. That's what I want to do. People forsake their family. Is that what God wants you to do? Or is that what you want to do? See, we've been bought with a price. See, we're no more our own. We've been bought with a price. I need to be careful how I react. Don't react in the fleshly way. Don't forsake and flee when it gets a little tough. Some forsake and flee the church in faithfulness and responsibility. Some flee their families. And let me say this, some will flee the fundamentals of the faith. They'll compromise. And as I've already said many times, and I'll say it again today from this pulpit, as long as I'm pastor here, we're not compromising the fundamentals of the faith. We're still going to stick to the Bible. We're going to still try to stick to spiritual singing. We're still going to try to stick to spiritual worship. But I see it all over our country today. And I also see it right here in our county. There's a fleeing of the fundamentals of the faith. There's pressure from everybody else around us. Well, if you'll do it this way, you can get a bigger crowd. I'm all for crowds. I don't have nothing against crowds. I love to see the pews full. Matter of fact, I get concerned when I see them starting to empty down. I get concerned. I want to see them full. But I'm not going to compromise the fundamentals of the faith to get them. If the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ will not get it done now, then we're in trouble. I'm glad, thank God, it's the preaching of the gospel. I'm glad it's the power of the gospel. Thank God, I'm glad it's the penetrating word of the gospel that'll still change men, women, boys, and girls today. And what we need, thank God, is a preaching and a living of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But some will flee and forsake the fundamentals of the faith. Now I wonder, is that God's will? Not if we leave in the fundamentals of the faith. Let me say something else that people will forsake and flee. Not only will they forsake and flee the church and their faithfulness and responsibility, some will forsake their family, some will forsake the fundamentals of the faith. I thought about this. Some will forsake and flee because of fear. Huh? Now, I truly believe that's what happened to the disciples here. But I'm glad the Bible teaches us that God has not given us the spirit of fear. Now, there's things that all of us are fearful about. Let's just be honest. Why, we'd be kidding ourselves if we'd sit here and say, there ain't nothing I'm afraid of. I believe I used this, was it Wednesday night or last week? Talking about the bear? Maybe that was Wednesday night. I don't remember. You get a big old 400 or 500 pound bear after you and you ain't got nothing to attack it with, you're going to run. And you're going to run in fear for your life. But it's when we let fear dominate us and detour us and discourage us. If we're not careful, we'll forsake and we'll flee. So I see, number one, I see the fleshly reaction. Number two, I see the forsaken and the fleeing reaction. Number three, I see the one focused reaction. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? The one focused reaction. That's the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't have time right now because I've got to wind this thing down. But again, going back up to verse 46 and reading down to the verses that we read into your hearing through 50 and these verses that I read this morning, you'll find that Jesus had a focused reaction. Let me give you three things about that and I'll be done. Number one, he was focused on who he was. You say, preacher, what's that got to do with me? You need to focus on who you are. You say, preacher, who am I? You're a sinner saved by the good grace of God. If you're here saved by His grace today, thank God, you ought to thank God, you ought to lift your hands toward heaven and thank God this morning that you're a child of the living God. Hallelujah. I tell you, you ought to focus on who you are and what Christ has done in your life today. Thank God Jesus knew who He was. I'm afraid there's many people today that are not focused on who they are. Who am I? Now, without Him today, if you're here without Christ, you're lost in your sin and you need a Savior. But how do I react? Do I know who I am? I realize I'm nothing without Him. But with Him, all things are possible. Do you realize that today? With God, all things are possible. Jesus was focused on who He was. Are we focused on that we are His? Secondly, Jesus was focused on where His help come from. He knew where His help come from. What's He say in verse 53? Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father and He shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? Let me say this morning. You have access to the throne of grace of Almighty God. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God this morning. Thanks be unto the Lord Jesus today that I've got access to the very throne room of grace. How do I react when the enemy attacks? Do I react in the fleshly reaction? Let my emotions and my anger and revenge, all those things be what motivates me to do what I do? Do I realize who I am and do I realize where my help comes from? And say, Lord, You're going to have to help me right here. And there's never been a time when I've said, Lord, I need some help right here, that I can get some help. Hallelujah. Anybody ever ask for any help and get some? I say glory to the Lamb of God this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that God is always available? Jesus was focused. He had a focused reaction. He knew who he was, and he knew who to call on. Do you know that today? Let me give you one more thing and I'm done. He focused on who he was. He focused on where his help come from. And lastly, he focused on what he was here to do. Right here in the text. How then shall the Scriptures be fulfilled that thus it must be? You ever went through anything you didn't understand? Some of you may be here today going through things you don't understand. Now, sometimes those things can be things of our own making. But sometimes it can be things that God is allowing us and even putting us through to refine us, to shape us, to make us, to mold us into what He wants you and I to be. How many believe God's sovereign this morning? Well, if you don't believe that, you ought to read your Bible. God's sovereign. There's not anything He doesn't know. And there's not anything He doesn't have control over. Except He gives you and I choice. But see, Jesus knew why He was here. I'll be honest with you. Most of the people in the church have never come to terms of why they are here. Why are we here? Why are we here? What's my purpose? Well, the first reason why you're here is God allowed you to be here. Number two, God wants you to be saved. Number three, God wants you to live for Him. And God wants you to point others to Him. See, Jesus understood why He was here. That doesn't mean that you've got to be called to some specific kind of type of ministry or area of ministry. Just be what God wants you to be. If you're a Sunday school teacher, be the best Sunday school teacher you can be. If you sing, be the best singer you can be. If you can call somebody, encourage them, be the best encourager you can be. If you're a prayer warrior, be the best prayer warrior you can be. Be what God would have you to be. See, Jesus knew why He was here. Jesus is not asking you and I to die for Him. He's asking you and I that we might live for Him and point others to Him. I see three reactions. Now, for most of us, to be honest here this morning, the most of us react just like Peter does. We draw out the sword. And there's no victory in drawing the sword because Jesus even told him those that live by the sword, going to perish by the sword. In other words, when you cut somebody, somebody going to come through and cut you. And nobody ever wins. There's the fleshly reaction. There's the forsaking and the fleeing. I'll just leave. I'll just quit. I'll just give up. Thank God Jesus never gave up. Then there's the focused reaction. Know who you are. Know who you can call on. Where your help comes from. Thank God, I'm glad we got somebody to help us. Know who you are. Know where that help comes from. And then Elisha this morning. Thank God. Be on focused on what you're here for. I'm afraid a lot of people come to the worship service not even focused on worship. Much less what God wants them to do. If we can't worship Him here, we sure ain't going to go out in the world and worship Him. But if we can worship Him here, I believe we'll worship Him just as well out there. How do you react when the enemy attacks? And if you're here today without Christ, The enemy will do everything that he can to keep you from getting to the Savior. Don't listen to him. He's a liar and the father of all lies. And you don't have the same kind of help that I have. But if you'll get saved, you have the same help available to you that is available to me. Let's stand to our feet. Just come get us a song of invitation, just as I am today. It'll be fine. Just play just as I am today. Father, in Jesus' name, we come before your great throne of grace today, Lord, to thank you, Father, for this another opportunity and this another privilege to be able to come and be in your house once again today. And Lord, I just pray right now in the stillness of this service that you would help each of us, Lord, to search our own hearts. And I'd have to truly stand here and say this morning that there's times that I've let my flesh get the better of me. There's been times that I've wanted to throw up my hands and just run away. But I pray that you'd help me today to be as you were there even in the garden. To be focused on who you were and where you helped come from and what you were here to do. I pray, Father, that you'd help each of us today to consider how we react when the enemy attacks. Help us to keep our hearts and our minds stayed upon thee. I pray most of all for someone here today that's never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. I pray in the stillness of this service this morning that they'd come. And then maybe there's Christians here today that just want to come and say, Lord, help me to keep my focus right. I have no idea, but Lord, I just submit it, surrender it to your hands. You do what we cannot do for ourselves. Help us to be obedient. And it's in Christ's name we do pray. As they play this morning, just